Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Mohsen. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Mustafa, assalamu
alaikum. Assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Muhammad Baqir Behbahani, mainly known as Wahid al-Behbahani. His main struggles were against the Akhbaris on that time and his time. We'll talk more about this aspect of the life of Wahid Behbahani. But before that, let's get to his early life and his scholarly life. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, Muhammad Baqir Behbahani was known as Wahid Behbahani or Wahid Asr, or he was also known as the greater teacher or the Ustad-e-Kul.
Yes.
Kul means like the one who knows everything. Mm-hmm. And the second Allama or Muhakkik al-Thalith, because
yes,
we had the Muhakkik before it. So he was the third Muhakkik. He was one of the Usuli Ulama and was against the Akhbarism, we can say. And what we see is that he was born in Isfahan, since he was Behbahani. And after that, he was one of the students of Allama Majlisi. And from his children, we can say like he had children like Muhammad Ali, who was one of the great and famous scholars in Kirmanshah. And the other son of him, Abdul Hussein, was the responsible for the financial,
yes,
issues of his father when he was a marja.
Yes.
Obviously, in the office of marja, there are different things that are obviously needs to be dealt with, especially the financial terms when the khums and zakat comes, and so on. He basically have studied his initial studies in Isfahan. And he has got the initial things, like initial, we can say, like his schooling was by his father, where he studied by his father. And after that, he went to the Najaf, where he had the teachers like Sayyid Muhammad Tabatabai Burujardi,
yes,
and the other ulama. About his students, what we can say is that he was a great scholar, that amongst his students we can take the name of Mullah Mahdi al-Naraqi.
Yes.
Sayyid Muhammad Mahdi Tabatabai, who was known as Baharul Ulum. We had the Abu Ali Hayri, who wrote the Muntaha al-Maqal.
Yes.
Mullah Ahmad al-Naraqi also was known as his students. Sheikh Muhammad Taqi Isfahani, Mirza Abul Qasim Qummi, Kashiful Ghita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the great names, basically.
Yes.
Who were in the Hawza of Najaf and Karbala. So these were the main, we can say, like students of Wahid Behbahani. On the other hand, we can see like he wrote the books on the fiqh. Obviously, he,
yes,
was a jurist. And there are 119, we can say, like the books and the articles which he wrote. And they were on different issues. And his main popularity was due to his combat with the Akhbaris.
We got to that. Let's get to Brother Mustafa and have more. We can say Wahid al-Behbahani from his tongue. Okay, Brother Mustafa, give us more information about the scholarly life of Wahid al-Behbahani, especially as Sayyid said, his approach And where does this conflict come from? I mean, Akhbaris and Usulis disagreement in the houses, and what was the role of Wahid Behbahani in order to recreate a kind of new atmosphere in the houses for Akhbaris?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayatollah Behbahani spent most of his scholarly life in Behbahan, and in the house of Behbahan, there were many scholars coming from Bahrain. Mm-hmm. And those who were coming from Bahrain, mainly they were Akhbaris. Mm-hmm. And Muhaqqiq Behbahani was against Akhbarism. So he spent most of his time that he lived in Behbahan trying to fight or trying to deal with this issue of Akhbarism. And he wrote one of his famous books, Al-Ijtihad wal-Akhbar. It was a kind of defense for Ijtihad, and he wrote it in Behbahan. So, and also when he went after a while, when he traveled and settled in Karbala, Karbala was also a center for Akhbarism, yes. Especially when Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani was the great teacher and the great Shia scholar who was living there. So even there, he tried his best to clarify and somehow explain to the people and to the scholars that Akhbarism is not the correct way of thinking and thoughts.
So the type of Ijtihadi look in mm-hmm. the Islamic houses was over there, isn't it? So now the Akhbaris are going to negate the whole Ijtihad. Is it so? Is it done by the Akhbaris? I mean, they negate the whole, we can say, the concept of Ijtihad?
They believed, as it was explained earlier, that we have the sources of our takalif and uh-huh. our obligations is either Quran or is Hadith. So, but there is no reasoning, there is no istidlal and ijtihad when we are dealing with our takalif and our obligations. Mm-hmm. So if there is something written in the narrations, in the hadith and in akhbar, so we accept it. If it is not there, so there is no other way to come to a conclusion regarding an issue in religious affairs.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La
ilaha illallah.
So in this way, for the Akhbaris, there is no place for intellect, for aql or istidlal. Is it so?
Well, obviously, we cannot say like there is no place. They do use the intellect when mm-hmm. they, obviously, you know, when they bring a hadith and they start to argue, or the arguments on the hadith, how this hadith proves a specific rule, mm-hmm. they're actually doing that. But obviously, they take it under the narrations. They say, we need to have a narration first to prove something, and uh-huh. then they do the discussion.
Okay.
Whereas the Usulis, they say, in the place where we do not have any narration and the hadith and the verse of the Quran, what should we do? And there is the place of ijtihad. Ijtihad means the scholar struggles. He tries to understand through other ahadith, through the, you know, the intellectual ways that we have seen, for example, how the ulama used to do. Mm-hmm. There is the ijma of the ulama okay. as well. It is also involved. And there are many other principles
when we face a hadith. So there are some wordings over there by the infallibles. There is a hadith. So according to the Akhbaris, are we allowed to discuss about the hadith and use our intellect in order to have our own understanding? Is it so or no?
We're not doing our own understanding of the hadith. That does not mean. Mm-hmm. The mean is that what hadith has said, they need to explain okay. in the same way. For example, hadith is talking about a specific thing. So they just talk about that specific thing and mm-hmm. they do not go beyond that.
Okay.
Whereas the ijtihad is that, where hadith is saying this, maybe it's proving something else as well.
Okay.
So they do ijtihad. Or maybe like, you know, the hadith is quite about a specific issue. Mm-hmm. So there you need to do the ijtihad. You cannot, we cannot leave as a mujtahid. It is the duty of the mujtahid to not to leave the muqallid, the one who's following, in a situation where he's confused.
Mm-hmm.
He has to take the people out of confusion.
Yes.
If he cannot take them out of the confusion through the ijtihad, then he says, for example, this is ihtiyat. Mm-hmm. For example, this is you need to refer maybe to another mujtahid or a'lam, the one who knows better than this, because I could not reach to a specific, you know, decision. On the other hand, when we look at the personality of the, you know, the scholarly personality or the social personality of Behbahani, Wahid yes. Behbahani, it is enough to say that Allama Bahrul Ulum and Sahibul Riyad,
yes,
they both have called him Allama.
Yes.
And Allama means a highly, you know...
A polymath is what they say, yes.
Yes. On the other hand, Sahibul Jawahir and Sheikh Ansari, they have called him Ustad Akbar or Ustad Kul,
yes,
the greater teacher. So, you know, with these personalities that we have mentioned, when they have remembered him in such a way, it means that he was a great scholar. He was, you know, the man of what he used to, you know, teach. And also on top of that, he had the akhlaqi characteristics, you know, his akhlaqi characteristics or akhlaqi, we can say, point of view, he was of the best character.
That's right.
So that such people who were the writers of, you know, the books of ethics, they were also calling him as a teacher. Okay.
And the story between Wahid Behbahani and Sheikh Yusuf Behrani is really interesting, because when he entered Karbala at that time, as you said, the Akhbaris were over there. And for 3 days, we can say
he requested.
Yeah, he requested to Behrani. Teach instead of Behrani. And since Behrani was a moderate man, he led Behbahani to do the teaching. And after 3 days, we could see that 2/3 of the students of the Akhbaris, we can say, changed their approach into the Usuli one. Since that time onward, we can see the house of Karbala was under the shadow of Wahid Behbahani and his teachings. Okay, brother Mustafa, can you name some of his works for us? I mean, beside the other works.
Of course, Maghrib Behbahani was also a prolific author. He yes. has many books in different fields of study, especially in fiqh and usul. In Usul, he has a great book, Ar-Rasail al-Usuliyya, which discusses basically the reasons, or it brings proofs for ijtihad and istidlal. This book contains 8 treatises in Arabic, especially the first one, which is the main and the most important one, is Ar-Risalat al-Ijtihad wal-Akhbar. So
that's
in
right.
this treatise, he goes deeply and he goes profoundly regarding the issue of ijtihad and akhbar. And in some points, he proves that akhbarism and akhbari school of thought is not enough and is not the perfect and the true way of thinking.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Brother Mustafa and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, for a nice elaboration on the life of Wahid Behbahani. Yes, Wahid Behbahani passed away on Shawwal 29th, 1205, according to the Hijri lunar calendar. At the end of his life, which was a long life, 83 life, he only, we can say, taught Sharh al-Lum'ah, and ordered his outstanding student, Bahrul Ulum, Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, to get back to the city of Najaf and take care of the houses over there. And after he passed away, his body was taken into the city of Karbala and he was buried in the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam by the foot of the martyrs of Karbala. May Allah bless the soul of Wahid Behbahani, the reviver of the Usuli school of thought of the houses, of the Elmias, of the Shiite world. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Mustafa, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
معلم.